Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 87, and we are recording this on February 24th, 2020. I am Tim, and joining me tonight, one regular host, one returning guest host. I'm going to have them introduce themselves and tell us what the last thing they ate was. Ladies first.
Okay, so Asha Henley here, and the last thing I ate was like a few minutes ago, and it was a tortilla chip.
Just one tortilla chip. Was there salsa with it?
No, it was like three. I'm cooking tacos later this evening, so I just wanted a little nibble.
Gotcha. All right. All right. Other host?
Hello, Tim. I'm Barry White. It's not a good Barry White.
No, not at all.
Damn it.
You wanted to perfect your Barry White. I was trying for you. Hi, it's Sean. Last thing I ate was a pesto pizza with bacon and roasted tomatoes on it.
Ooh.
Because it's after dinner time here.
Did you save any for me?
I did. There's a couple slices left for lunch tomorrow. You coming down?
Totally.
Okay.
I'll be there.
I will stay over here.
I had a York peppermint patty. That was the last thing I ate.
All right.
So we did, Lou and I did an interview with someone before this show, and I wanted just a tiny bit of something between shows. So that's what we did.
Fair enough.
But actually, I will work that into our network announcements, what the interview was that we did. If anyone who listens watches BattleBots, then you are infinitely familiar with Farouk, who is everyone's favorite announcer. And that's who we interviewed. We interviewed Farouk. We had, I don't know, probably 35 or 40 minutes with him. He was awesome to talk to, awesome to hang out with. Just like a great personality. I mean, everything that you would expect from those just like couple of minutes that you see in the BattleBot shows, that's him, totally, 100%. That is definitely who he is, and he's awesome. His like key thing before a fight, after he does the introductions, before he does the introductions, is it's robot fighting time. And yes, in fact, he did it's random chatter time for us.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've already, aside from grabbing my York peppermint patty, I isolated that sound clip from the interview.
It's going to be your ringtone now.
That was,
yeah, I was going to say, is that like your text alert or something?
It might be. Let's see. There's some other network announcements that we have here. We did start a new show on the network called The Story Crucible. And that is a show with Eric and our latest staff member, Lila, who is, she's actually from Berlin, Germany.
And nice.
She loves pop culture stuff, but there's a lot of pop culture stuff that she's actually never watched. And so Eric basically does a show with her immediately after she has watched a movie. So like she's never seen the Star Wars movies. Okay. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It really is. So like he gets initial impressions from her and that kind of stuff. And it's a cool opportunity to like kind of see these movies through fresh eyes, you know, things that we've been used to our entire lives. And, really get to get those impressions from someone who's never seen them before. So that's really exciting. Along with that, we are doing a lot of our shows now on Twitch. We're still kind of in pilot testing mode with that. So right now we're doing it on Eric's Twitch account. which is Cynefan, C-Y-N-E-F-A-N. We usually announce when we're going to be recording those, both on Discord and on Random Chatter's Twitter. We are definitely doing both the Random Chatter show and Echo Base Sunday nights. That starts usually about 8 o'clock. So we do a live stream of those shows up on Twitch. You get to see our ugly faces.
I mean, is it ugly or bald?
Well, 2 out of 3 are bald.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't say any of you are ugly. It was just more the bald factor.
Hey, not all of us can have perfect hair, John, like Asha does.
Yes, true.
I don't even have this hair half the time, so it's okay. Not saying I wear a wig. Just saying it's not this pretty. This is a rare occasion.
So, yeah, that has been a lot of fun because you can join us. When you join us in there, you're then in the chat room. And so we get to interact with folks live while we are recording the show. And so we still put the show out as a regular podcast. We're also going to be putting them up on Random Chatter's YouTube once we do eventually transition over to doing these on Random Chatter. Like I said, right now they're still pilots. We're still just kind of working the kinks out of them. We have like some sound and video delays. We get some things that are out of sync. We have some different like tech oriented things, but we're having a really good time doing them. And the folks who are joining us are having a good time with them. So it's been a lot of fun. Of course, folks know you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We definitely appreciate you leaving reviews and spreading the word about us. You know, we are in fact the highest rated MCU show on the entire Random Chatter network. That's amazing.
That is, I mean, I feel complete.
Yeah. Yeah. You can contribute to the network a bunch of ways. You can do so by direct monetary contributions. If you go to randomchatter.com/Patreon, even just $1 a month is a huge, huge help to us to help us pay the bills that we have. We are officially an IRS approved nonprofit organization now. So, all of the donations go directly to our operating expenses. We're fortunate to no longer have to be paying taxes on that stuff, which was just crazy that we're, you know, taking money in and then like 30% of that spending back to taxes. That was nuts. So we are maximizing your dollars and we're trying to do cool things with it. Like the video streams, we're going to be doing game nights on Twitch once we get that kind of stuff going. So we'll be doing like group games like the Jackbox things and other interactive games that the hosts and even some listeners can get in and play with us. You can get Random Chatter merchandise from TeePublic. If you go to randomchatter.com/store, we have t-shirts and stickers and all sorts of fun stuff over there with a bunch of show logos, including Guardians. And you can certainly join us over on Discord, randomchatter.com/discord. And you can join us and other hosts and a whole crap ton of listeners in various discussions about shows and show topics and other things. We have a kind of a selection of channels on Discord that are available publicly. So we have a lobby and our show channels up. But then we have dozens upon dozens of other channels with all sorts of different discussions on Star Wars and Star Trek and MCU stuff and pets and house stuff and cooking and all sorts of things. And just $1 a month to Patreon gets you full access to all of that over on Discord. And it's a lot of fun. And we definitely appreciate it.
And if we don't have a channel and there are enough people, we'll make a channel.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It guaranteed it happens like once every probably 2 or 3 weeks that someone says, hey, Tim, can you create a channel for whatever? And so we do. And you like definitely when there's a new movie that comes out. So maybe say just for the sake of discussion, say they do like a Black Widow movie, which none of us here are excited about.
Wait, are they doing one?
When that movie, truly, the day or probably even the day before that movie releases, I'll create a Black Widow spoiler channel. So That way, as soon as people go see the movie and they can wait to get home, or they can sit in the parking lot of the movie theater, like sometimes I do, and go on their phone and go into the spoiler channel, and they can talk about the movie with other people in this safe space of the spoiler channel. So you're not going to spoil anyone, because only the people who are going in the spoiler channel, hopefully, probably, usually, are the people who've seen the movie. And so that's awesome. So you can do that without, like, trying to discuss it on Twitter with your friends, but, you know, then you're then posting spoilers that other people can see who haven't seen it and all that good stuff. So it's fantastic. And we're still kind of waiting for Asha to join us over on Discord. Asha,
yeah,
come on.
It's been, I think I signed up, but like, I don't use it and I don't know what I'm doing on it. So,
hey, yeah, me and you both.
Plus, you know, I mean, you're a regular enough host. I'm empowered to make certain decisions. So, you know, I'll give you full access to the whole thing. Cause you know, I'm good like that. I'm good like that.
That's how we get paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And access.
That's right. That's right. All right. On Turn News. Okay, so this past weekend was the big New York City Toy Fair. I love seeing the news from the New York City Toy Fair. One of these years, I actually want to get down there and attend it, because it just looks like the most fun thing ever.
I mean, it's Christmas after Christmas.
It truly is. It truly is. I mean, they do this thing in February, and so it's, yeah, you're right, John. I mean, we get hit with all this stuff just like a few months ago, and then now we see all the stuff that's going to come out later this year. And it's so cool. I mean, there's some great Star Wars stuff that came out from it. They did, Hasbro did announce that Disney has extended their contract for both Star Wars and Marvel stuff. And in fact, one of the Marvel things that Hasbro did announce at the New York City Toy Fair is that they are going to be doing figures for their Marvel Legends action figures that are styled after the Fox X-Men movies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because yeah. they were kind of sort of in costume.
Yeah. But I mean, not like they're not totally their comic book costumes, at least for many of them.
No. Yeah.
You know, they had the OG blue team uniforms at one point for a little period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So
those are, they don't seem like action figures I need. I mean, I don't have a lot of action figures, but I don't feel like those movies were good enough or unique enough that I'm going to run out and even go check out and see what they look like.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably look at them. You know, I haven't looked at any of the images that have been posted, if they even have been posted. But definitely once they're in the stores, I mean, I'll probably take a look at them. Same as you, I don't know that there's any that are actually going to compel me. Again, I have so much crap. I have to be really selective with, like, what I get. It's, you know, I've got a bunch of the Star Wars 6-inch Black Series figures, and I'm even very selective with those. I mean, they've come out, I think they just hit 100, and I probably have 12, maybe.
I think I have two, and I think we bought those in Kansas City, you and I?
Probably, in Target. I remember walking around the Target in Kansas City looking at action figures. These are the things that John and I do.
I was like, I think I'm going to buy some black figures.
Yeah. And then, like, I think I mentioned maybe a couple weeks ago that I just got the Legends, the Hasbro Marvel Legends.
It was War Machine, wasn't it?
War Machine, yes. Thank you. Which is actually, it's a really, really cool figure. And somehow I got it for half off of retail on Amazon. I got it for $10 to go for $20. Yeah, I have no idea how that happened. And I have the Dr. Doom one, and then I got a Moon Knight maquette, which was like, you know, it's one of those like ultra articulated, like 500 points of articulation. You get like 8 different hands and all the weapons and all sorts of stuff, and really, really cool, very well done, you know, like $80 thing. So I have the 3 of those in my office, and that's about it. Asha, is there anything that you collect?
A lot of stuff, actually.
Oh,
sadly,
tell.
I don't have it with me in California, but it's all in Maryland. I have posters, mm-hmm. huge collector of movie posters. Oh, I have like all the DVDs. I have some little figurines. What else? And a whole bunch of just like random stuff that has like Marvel stuff on it. So
nice.
Like a cup that has Spider-Man on it or something.
Sure. Yeah.
Little knickknacks here and there. It's in like a whole case. I have a whole little section of my room that's like nerdified.
Nice. Nice. I got to say, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, on my desk at work, I have a probably circa 1990s Wolverine action figure. I think you can bend his arms and legs in like one direction.
Nice.
Maybe time to upgrade.
Well, then maybe, you know, this is your opportunity, John. You'll be able to get the Hugh Jackman version of Wolverine.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think I know someone that might want a, you know, Ryan Reynolds Deadpool, but.
Deadpool is one that I should, I do have, I have a Deadpool Lego.
Oh.
You know, which is pretty awesome because he's just all decked out with like katanas and submachine guns as Deadpool does. But yeah. You mentioned movie posters, Asha. The mm-hmm. greatest collection of movie posters I ever saw is actually at Lucasfilm. And John, you saw this also. So John and I and my wife, a few years ago, we were doing some work in San Francisco. And there's someone who works, he no longer works for Lucasfilm proper. He now works for ILM, Justin Bulger. A lot of folks I know who listen to us here also listen to the Star Wars shows that we do. And you're probably familiar with Justin. And hooked up with Justin and got a phenomenal tour of Lucasfilm. And there's a lot of things on display there that are owned by Lucasfilm. And then there are other things, particularly like this epic crap ton of movie posters, which is the collection is actually owned by George Lucas. And so he has it on loan to Lucasfilm, which he no longer owns. He doesn't own the company anymore, but obviously has a great relationship with them and essentially uses them as a display space, because otherwise where in the world is he going to put these things? Until his museum is built, which is the next, I think next year is, or maybe later this year. I can't remember when the pop culture sci-fi, I can't remember what the heck it is. The museum that his foundation is doing. And I imagine he's probably going to move a lot of his collection over there. But I mean, John, like walking through the halls and corridors and meeting rooms and the cafeteria.
I mean, and it's a lot of foreign ones. And that was the coolest part, was seeing the foreign version of movie posters that, you know, we've seen all over the place. And I mean, they're just, you know, poster after poster after poster. It is truly amazing.
Yeah, it really is. Speaking of which, so Asha, over on the Black Widow, have you heard of her?
Who?
Yeah. have you seen any of the overseas posters that have gone up, and are there any like uniquenesses? I know I'm totally putting you on the spot. You weren't prepared for this one. Like any uniquenesses that popped up in any of the foreign posters that weren't in the domestic ones that were like, wow, they showed a totally different thing that we didn't see?
Not that I've seen yet. Okay. I know there was one poster put up, I think it was in Brazil, but it was a fan-made poster, and I guess the theater just printed it out and put it up. And so everyone was, like, freaking out.
Oh, just that's like, awesome.
No, we saw this months ago, and it's fan-made. Calm down. But there, nothing yet.
There really are some very, very cool fan-made stuff that's out there. You produce the vast majority of the fan-made Black Widow stuff that I've seen. And I got to say, yep. Props to you. And I know, like, you have a background in graphic design. The stuff that you do looks like they are legit movie posters. Like, they're coming out of Marvel Studios. I mean, they're really freaking
good. Tell them to call me in the next 2 months. Give this to me. I've already been practicing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Asha, we did choose to have you on tonight as opposed to Kevin Feige, but we can bring it up next time we have Kevin on.
Next time. When is that? It better be in the next 2 months.
Well, I mean, he's invited to come on next week. He was invited to come on this week. And yeah, like John said, I mean, it kind of came down to like, hey, we haven't had Asha on in a while. And so I called him up and I said, hey, Kev, because, you know, that's we're cool like that. I said, hey, Kev, we've got another guest host on. She's been with us for a while. You know her. It's Asha, because he's a big listener. He listens to the show all the time.
You better be.
I said, I know you were planning on being on the show, but yeah. No one's believing this. Anyway, so back to the New York City Toy Fair. One thing, another thing that Hasbro told us at the New York City Toy Fair was that they confirmed that both Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye, those series will be releasing on Disney Plus in 2021. So this is actually information that we did not have before. First of all, we didn't have any kind of release target for Ms. Marvel. We've mentioned a few times over the last few weeks on the show, we talked about like casting announcements for Ms. Marvel and that kind of stuff. So we knew it was going to be coming up, but we did not have any kind of a target for it. We still don't have a date. But yes, they did in fact confirm that it's going to be 2021. And the same thing with Hawkeye. And why that's important is that we've seen for the last, 2 months, 3 months, all these rumors of the Hawkeye series getting delayed. Mm-hmm. Having production delays for whatever reason. Some of that was associated with Jeremy Renner's personal stuff that I think people were taking out of hand. Some of it was actual production delays for things. It seems that none of that, at least right now, from what Hasbro told us, that's not an issue. So we should be on schedule. Again, we don't have exact dates for those, but at least we know that they are going to come next year, which is great. And, you know, it's interesting. So like, we know what's coming up next year, and it kind of makes you wonder that, so are the things that we're going to see this year, WandaVision, the Falcon and Winter Soldier, that kind of stuff. Now, WandaVision, I kind of expect to be a one-off. I don't think that, you know, their story is going to evolve so much. We've talked here a lot about how central Wanda Maximoff and Scarlet Witch are going to be, at least to the early part of Phase 5. Just from everything that we've seen in terms of tie-ins to Doctor Strange 2 and all that kind of stuff. But Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, could we see a Season 2 of that? Maybe. And if we do, I would expect it would be in 2021. I don't know.
I still think most of these are going to be one-offs.
Okay.
I mean, with the star level, the kind of kicking it off, I could see them with characters in some of these spinning off into their own shows. I mean, but unless Marvel's stroking a pretty big check. But then again, and now I'm going to counteract myself because I scroll down to see some of the other notes, and you look at, you know, Anthony Mackie starring in Altered Carbon in Season 2. Okay, so I mean, he's not above doing TV shows on you know, pay subscription networks like Netflix or Disney Plus. So maybe he is open to a Season 2.
Yeah.
And part of that's just still the stigma of, and I think that's largely gone away, of, oh, if you're in movies, you don't do TV.
Right.
But
right.
we've certainly seen that model being broken.
Oh, yeah. 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 Especially with the streaming services, because they really, they change the game quite a bit. It's not really TV, but it's not the big screen. It's kind of this thing in between. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that we do have a few things associated with Netflix and also with Disney Plus, but you mentioned Anthony Mackie being in Altered Carbon season two. Either of you guys watch the first season of Altered Carbon?
No,
I did. I was a big fan.
Amazing sci-fi, mind blowing sci-fi. And like really, really deep. It's one of those shows. It's not like this superficial, just kind of popcorny sci-fi. It's like really deep. Like I've watched it twice and well, I'm not going to have time to watch it again before season two, but I had intentions of watching the first season of Altered Carbon a third time because it is that deep there. It's so intricate and there's so much to it. And it's really, really intense. Great story. And so Anthony Mackie is coming into this season. He was not in the first season. He's coming into the second season. Really excited about that. So otherwise, on streaming services, Black Panther, which has been on Netflix, is going to be headed to Disney Plus on March 4th. And the whole thing behind these, keep in mind that before Disney Plus existed, before it was officially any kind of a concept, Disney signed over distribution rights, streaming rights to other services. In terms of the MCU stuff, it was over to Netflix. Things like Star Wars, some of it was Netflix, some of it was Stars. And, you know, so we're still seeing some of the fallout of that. And, you know, in terms of people saying, well, hey, why isn't everything on Disney Plus? Well, because Disney signed contracts. So Avengers Infinity War is going to Disney Plus on June 25th. And Ant-Man the Wasp is expected to go to Disney Plus in July sometime. The date that seems to be floating around is July 29th, but we haven't gotten a confirmation on that. So again, Black Panther, March 4th, Infinity War, June 25th, Ant-Man and Wasp, late July-ish, is what we're expecting there.
So Tim, you're really looking forward to late July.
I think Ant-Man and Wasp was far better than the first one, at least. So I would probably watch it again.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about another project that Anthony Mackie is doing. And we know that the other stars of our MCU films are doing other projects as well. Chris Pratt and Tom Holland are actually featured in voice work for a Disney Pixar movie called Onward, which comes out next week, March 6th. And the theme of the film is basically two brothers getting to spend one more day with their father who had passed away. And I actually knew nothing about this movie until I read this particular article. And it kind of made me sit back for a moment. I mean, I lost my dad when I was a teenager. And so like the premise of this is like really, really touching and kind of makes you think some things through. And so in the press conference for this, whoever the moderator was asking people who were on the stage, which included Chris Pratt and Tom Holland and directors and all that kind of stuff. If you had 24 hours to spend with a certain person, who would it be? And Chris Pratt, who I didn't know had lost his dad, said that one of the things that he would do would be to show his dad Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's cool.
I mean, that's so awesome. And it just shows like how proud of that project that Chris is.
Mm-hmm.
And that he expects that his dad would be proud of him for it also.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And I mean, again, I mean, not to make things too personal, but I mean, I've certainly thought through my life, like, hey, I wish my dad was around to be able to see this accomplishment that I did, kind of thing. And so I totally relate to the thing that Chris Pratt said. I think it's awesome.
Well, and to think if you've got one day with someone that you're going to take 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Which can seem long or short, depending on your viewpoint, but to to take that when you've got one day with somebody and still want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think kind of lends to that as well.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And in wonderful Chris Pratt fashion, he also said with this, he said, and if my dad didn't like it, I'd bring back a known criminal to beat him up on Instagram Live and become really popular.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah. Obviously, for quite a bit, we talked about the whole Spider-Man deal, which fell through, and then it got revived, and it's back again, and we know that...
It's back until it's gone.
Yeah. As Asha stands up and shows us her Spider-Man shirt.
Yes. And an earring, too.
Oh, and a Spider-Man earring.
Yes. Always come prepared. No,
too dark. I couldn't see it.
Yes.
But that's awesome. So... there's actually some interview, and I can't remember exactly who did the interview, but they were talking to some Disney and Sony executives, and both parties basically said that this was a win-win-win, meaning that both studios won and the fans won in this. And yeah, clearly, I mean, that's a no-brainer. And I think that's why there was such this outcry from the fans when we heard that the deal had fallen through or was falling through, because it just seemed like such a knuckleheaded thing. I mean, all of us wanted it. And it was also like, hey, Disney and Sony, you're both going to get something out of this. Like,
yeah, it's not like they were going to lose money.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
And exactly. I mean, I also, between, you know, deals like this, maybe we see more of them. Maybe we don't see a need for some of that, like the gobbling up of different studios and the continued mergers, where if they can work together to share characters,
mm-hmm.
it also goes a long way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, they did add in this discussion here that kind of making this statement, which was an interesting statement, and I think, you know, intuitively we all know this stuff, but they said that news cycles and the pace of negotiations don't necessarily overlap, and the news got ahead of some things, which, yeah, I mean, when news is getting reported on things like negotiations like this that are happening behind closed doors and through a series of emails and phone calls, and then someone who hears something reports something, or they know something definitively, but they leak it, but then it still may be out of context. You know, the news did get ahead of this stuff. But I will say, I think in this case, the advantage of the news getting ahead of this was that both studios got to see how much fan support there was for this deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think if there's, you know, there wasn't that, there's not the pressure to bring it back or for both sides to come together.
Mm-hmm.
There was no win, win, win.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we talked about the Tom Holland phone call.
Yeah.
Calling the executives and saying, hey, please do this.
that's 2020 energy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Please do.
There is no word on any continuation of this deal after the third Spider-Man film, but, you know, we certainly hope something is going to happen. And, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before, that the direction of the Sony Marvel films look to certainly be tying Spider-Man in. We don't know if they're actually tying in the MCU. I mean, it's kind of like this Venn diagram, you know, the partially overlapping circle thing. You've got mm-hmm. the MCU, you've got the Sony Marvel universe, and the overlap is Spider-Man. It doesn't necessarily mean that the stuff that's going on in the Sony Marvel universe is part of the MCU, but they're both using Spider-Man. And I think that's kind of what this deal is. So it's like, I would expect that maybe we might even see some referential stuff, some really low-key referential stuff in the Sony films. but I don't think they're going to be going out of their way to include anything MCU aside from Spider-Man, who's essentially a shared property at this point.
And we've had this conversation. I think they just need to be careful with that because they've established Spider-Man as clearly in the MCU. They established Vulture as clearly in the MCU. The only one they haven't established as clearly in the MCU is Venom.
Right.
And Morbius, you know, kind of coming out. But and even Mysterio, clearly in the MCU. He worked for Stark.
Totally.
So yep. I don't think it's as easy as, you know, Sony may think it is once they try to, if they try to tie Morbius, you know, some of these offshoot movies into, the MCU. And again, we've talked about it with, Vulture appearing at the end of the Morbius trailer, you know, kind of what are they doing? How does that work? And we saw the, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man poster. So, I mean, curious to see what they may be doing and where they may be going with it. But similar to what we said with like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., once they start going, we're half in, we're half out, I think the fans will be like, and we're out.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do. It can be real challenging. Asha, So, I mean, obviously you're a huge Black Widow fan, but you're also, you've talked about Spider-Man a lot. So I know you're a big Spider-Man fan.
I am.
What are your thoughts on this whole situation going forward? What do you think we'll see and what do you want to see? Which may be two very different things.
Okay. I think we'll see the aftermath of Spider-Man 2, where he's like, oh, Peter Parker, Spider-Man. But I also feel like, it will either be resolved quickly, like in the first like 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so, because you don't want that to be just the whole movie, him trying to prove that he's not Spider-Man. But then it also could be interesting because then he would have to deal with trying to really be Peter, trying to be Spider-Man, but also these villains coming after him. Which also brings me back to the first Spider-Man Homecoming, the post-credit scene with Vulture and who would, I presume, is Scorpio. And he was like, I hear that you know who Spider-Man is. He's like, oh, I don't know who he is. And I'm pretty sure that news has gotten to the prison. So right, it would be like interesting to see him try to balance all three of those things and also see a more mature version of him. Because he's going to have to, you know, grow up and, yeah, and deal with all that. So that's what a possibility. But I would really like to see just like a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man who's not worried about, you know, the Avengers or living up to Tony Stark, who he was becoming towards the end of Far From Home. Like, I want to see more of that or of him just being more free and being more Peter. And like,
yeah, I mean, it was cool to see Spider-Man in a big thing, but Spider-Man also isn't consistently a like high level character. He is the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So he stays very grounded in, you know, in New York City and does his thing there. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I mean, how the comics through history have kind of dealt with the whole outing of Peter Parker as Spider-Man. And you know, sometime they've, you know, comics obviously are infamous for doing timeline resets and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, there could be a multiverse thing or there's a Spider-Man doppelganger that's out there. And
it was just his bodyguard,
Peter Parker. Yeah. And Peter Parker happens to be standing next to the police chief who's like, oh, well, Spider-Man's there. You're clearly not Spider-Man. So everybody's wrong.
Yeah.
And so, like, then they don't question it anymore. It's like, oh, it's cool. You're not Spider-Man. It's good. Go away, kid. You know, something like that. Or
he makes a deal with the devil, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. We could have stuff like that. Whatever. Them mistaking Venom for Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. You know, we just don't know. So there could be a whole variety of things that they could do with this. And it is going to be interesting. I mean, I think they kind of painted themselves in a corner with that whole post-credits scene of, you know, Peter Parker as Spider-Man. But comics are very good at getting themselves out of the corners that they paint.
Right.
And I think similarly, the MCU can do the same thing.
They could probably use the Skrulls, that's correct. They can shapeshift, kind of like what they did.
Yeah.
Yes.
At the end with Nick Fury and Maria Hill, and just either have him
absolutely
be Spider-Man, and Peter's just like, "What do you mean? I'm right here," and something like that.
Absolutely.
But either way, I'm excited for J. Jonah Jameson. It was nice to see a familiar face.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it absolutely was. And so, I mean, in the last episode, Lizzie and I talked about the heavy rumor that's out there that Disney Plus is going to do something associated with the Secret Wars, which is basically all about the Skrulls taking up the personas of people like they did with Fury and Hill. And it's part of the Skrull-Kree War and all that kind of stuff. If they do that, that blows up a lot of stuff in the MCU, and they're fundamentally through that storyline, they can reset a lot of things by saying, no, that character never did that. That was actually a Skrull.
Yeah.
There it is. That's it. Yeah.
That wasn't Black Widow that fell. That was a Skrull.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's see. We talked about casting calls, mentioned casting calls a little bit earlier. It seems that the casting call for Jennifer Walters, a.k.a. She-Hulk, has been put out. And what they're looking for is a woman in her mid-20s to early 30s with comedic chops.
Does 24 count as mid-20s?
Sure. I was actually just going to ask Asha, are you putting in for this?
I totally should.
Are you responding to this casting call? I think you absolutely should.
Let's go.
Yeah, so they have put that out, and again, just like we talked about with Ms. Marvel, like really good indication that they're moving ahead. I mean, once they start casting, that means writing is largely done. They'll probably still be doing some changes of the writing, but the writing gives them an indication of what they have to cast. Then they do the casting, and then they're into the closer pre-production phases of actually working on these on the pictures themselves. So that's really good. A little bit of speculation out there that there hasn't been any kind of a discussion of an exit for Mark Ruffalo. I mean, we know that Robert Downey Jr. is done.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we know that Chris Evans is done. Mark Ruffalo is still hanging out. We fully expect to see him again. But at some point, he's going to go. I mean, he's been with us for a long time. And there's some thought that, well, hey, maybe we're going to get some additional longevity and involvement out of She-Hulk. And she fundamentally would be the replacement for Hulk. You know, you replace Green Person with Green Person, and there you go. So I don't know. Thoughts?
I mean, they've said in the past that the damage he suffered in Endgame was permanent.
Yes.
And so something he would have to deal with. I mean, so we have, and his apparent permanent merger between the two personalities. So I'm not sure. I mean, he's not, you know, the big smash 'em Hulk. I'm not sure, minus as kind of a mentor, which I could see him kind of doing with She-Hulk. I don't see necessarily a role for Professor Hulk in the, you know, Avengers. I mean, what is his job to do? He doesn't smash anymore. He is not as smart as Tony, which was proven in Endgame. So he's not going to be the inventor of stuff. He's got one arm. I mean, what's he going to do?
Look, I mean, my thought in this is that if they do want to keep him around a little bit longer, they obviously have to have some solution to the disability that he got from using the gauntlet. And to me, basically Shuri is the answer to that.
They could, like,
where she can design some kind of like robotic exoskeleton or something that would
no.
They can cut his arm off and he can.
No, I don't. We don't. Soldier. I don't need they to. Could. I don't need to see Hulkbuster Professor Hulk. For the love of God, no. No to every part of that. Just either make him the solution as he goes back to Hulk, or, hey, Mark, thanks for the memories.
Oh, man. Wow, John.
That is so funny.
That's
my
rough.
Question.
Professor
would
Hulk
be...
had his role. He finished the arc. I agree. Like, I've come to that, you know, I'm willing to agree to that, but. There's no role for him anymore. I mean,
maybe not. We're going to talk about something associated with that. But Asha, what do you have?
So my question would be, can Professor Hulk die now? Like, you know how, I think it was in Avengers, he said he tried to kill himself, but the other guy spit it out. Mm. So it's like, can he die and that be a part of his exit rather than, oh, we just don't hear from him anymore?
Well, I mean, Hulk isn't immortal, but he's definitely invulnerable to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, physically, he is certainly in the comics. Hulk has physically always been the strongest character, you know, not augmented by magic or anything like that. Hulk has always been physically the strongest. I mean, he is the mightiest Avenger, regardless of what, you know, Thor might think. Point Break. But we have seen that obviously there was something that did a lot of physical damage to him. And yeah, we have to wonder what he's going to do with that. And even psychologically, that could put him through a lot. Mm-hmm. That he's like, okay, I've effectively lost an arm permanently. You know, it limits my ability to do a lot of the things I want to do, whether it involves scientific finesse or it involves smashing. I mean, we see people in real life, you know, amputees and people who suffer injuries going through a lot of the same types of things. So, yeah, you know, it would be interesting. We did get augmentation post-injury when it came to Rhodey, which came from Stark Tech, which is then what has me thinking about Shuri doing something. Maybe, again, if they do want to extend Mark Ruffalo's involvement and they want to extend the Hulk and his storyline. But I am also inclined to agree with John that absent some kind of like epilogue that they want to have Hulk involved in for a movie or two, I'm inclined to think his story is done.
His story does not involve tech. I mean, the Hulk is, I mean, Tim, you pointed out how, you know, multiverse, all the different ways comic change things. If they want to continue with the Hulk, have him try to cure his arm with more gamma radiation and have him go back. I mean, the smart Hulk, tech Hulk, all of those things. No, I mean, there's, it's just, it had its place and now it's not.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I mean, there has been no announcement of Mark Ruffalo exiting. So we know there's got to be something else coming up for him. We just got to see what that's going to be. And obviously no one's going to last forever. So he's going to have to exit at some point, whether they continue the character with another actor or Hulk just goes away. And it is kind of tough to explain a character just going away, especially one that's so prominent as Hulk. So going back to Asha's point, we may see, like, actually see Hulk's demise.
I mean, again, I don't think we need to see that because part of his mutation is the ability to adapt. I mean, this is a guy who adapted to overcome space travel without a suit. His ability to fight in the arena. I mean, his transformation to Professor Hulk doesn't change that. I mean, again, easy storyline. He experiments with gamma. It changes him back to where he's got the two split personalities. Cue the walking away song and have Mark Ruffalo hitchhike down the road.
Yep.
for a nice nostalgia moment. I'll cry. And there you go. He wanders back off into where we saw him at the start of the Avengers, if need be.
And you know, John, but that's not a bad idea either, because that gives them an out, and it also gives them an ability, even with another actor, to bring Hulk back again in 10 years.
But I mean, we've also seen in plenty of movies where a character disappears and they don't, they make reference to him or her. Right. I mean, they don't need to close that, you know, chapter off. Are we going to see them kill off Old Man Steve? No, but we also don't need to see him again. We know, like, he went off and did his thing. Yeah. They can make a reference to, you know, what, you know, what Hank Pym's doing, what Ruffalo's doing, what, you know, Banner, Professor Smart Hulk is doing. I mean, there's plenty of ways
to do
it. I'm
actually inclined to think that we are going to see Old Man Steve Rogers. I fully expect there to be a cameo at some point, either in Falcon and Winter Soldier or something in the fairly not so distant future, where Falcon is in like this moral quandary and calls up Steve and says, hey, I got to talk something through. I'm totally envisioning that. It almost seems that it's begging to be done.
Oh, I mean, that's possible to do too, but you know, he's then not going to have a heart attack and die.
basically Falcon's going to go visit him, and it's the whole Luke and it's the whole Luke and Yoda thing on Dagobah when Yoda
another dies.
There is another super soldier. Speaking of Mark Ruffalo, Mark Ruffalo came out in an interview saying that Kevin Feige actually thought that he was going to lose his job at one point when he was kind of in a fight for elevating the status of women in the MCU. And so what Mark said, he said, when we did the first Avengers movie, Kevin told me, listen, I might not be here tomorrow. Apparently, he was going to go talk to Disney about the issue of why there are no female superhero movies. And apparently, the biggest opponent that he had was Ike Perlmutter, who was Disney's largest shareholder. And Ike, I'm not going to say anything disparaging against Ike, but Ike was wrong. You know, clearly there is no reason why we can't have female-led superhero movies. So apparently Kevin said, Ike doesn't believe that anyone will go to a female-led superhero movie. So if I'm still here tomorrow, you're going to know that I won that battle. Clearly, for a lot of reasons, we know that Kevin Feige won that battle. But it is just so, more and more, I just have so much respect for this guy. With everything that he's done professionally, you know, he's stuck his neck out there for the right things and for the franchise and for the fans and for people as a whole. By God, Kevin, come on the show, man. Come talk to us.
And I would, Tim, I'd agree with you that he probably did it for all of the things. You throwing in franchise, I'm not sure I love. I think he did it because they stood up for what he believed in. I mean, not for the franchise, just for that's what he believed in. And the, you know, the need to represent the country and the world as a whole, not necessarily stay true to characters that were written, you know, in a predominantly white and male driven world.
Shout out to Kevin. That's why we get in this Black Widow movie. You're a real one, Kevin.
It's true.
But no, yeah, I'm glad he did that.
Totally true.
Because like you guys said, it's not, this world isn't just white and male. Like there are a whole bunch of different people in the world, and we want to be able to reflect that on the screen so you can, you know, really resonate with some yep. characters.
Yeah, I mean, we want to see mm-hmm. society represented in the media that we consume. You know, it's just yeah. quite honestly, it's just right. And it just seems ridiculous that people do want to basically whitewash these things or just have them be male dominated. And it seems in a lot of cases, just in society, we seem to struggle with that, despite the fact that reality says otherwise. So yeah, I mean, definitely props to Kevin for doing that. And yeah, just a cool thing, I think, for Mark mm-hmm. Ruffalo to put out there. Just a quick step back into Sony. There was some leaked set footage from Venom 2, which has since been pulled. Apparently Sony did not like it. I can't find it anywhere anymore. It's gone.
Which is impressive.
It has been scrubbed from the internet. Yeah, it has been fully scrubbed from the internet. So apparently the footage, and it wasn't very long, showed Woody Harrelson, who's Cletus Cassidy, a.k.a. Carnage, out on a street getting shot at by police. That's basically all the scene was. And it was not camera, like movie camera footage. It was like taken from someone's cell phone or something who was on the set. And, you know, that's really all it was. But this is clearly showing us that Venom 2 is going to have a lot more Cletus. We may even see Carnage in it. Not sure. I would expect that at some point we are going to see Carnage. But, you know, keep in mind, Carnage is, just like Venom, Carnage is the symbiote. Mm-hmm. So we have to have the symbiote of Carnage somehow appear, come to Earth, whatever the case may be. And then, you know, hook up with Cletus and do some kind of weird symbiote sex thing that happens. And then suddenly they become, you know, one crazy thing. And yeah. So that's, we know then, that's obviously a really good indication of what Venom 2 is going to be about. I would expect that we will in fact see Carnage, because Carnage, the genesis of this is that Carnage needs to basically take Venom to within an inch of his life. And I don't think, if they do this the right way, we will not see Venom pull out the Rocky win in the end, like he did in the first movie, like we see as a common trope in so many movies, that, hey, I get beaten by the bad guy and then I come back and then I beat the bad guy and I win. For them to underscore the importance and the gravity and the power of Carnage in this, Carnage needs to beat Venom at the end of this movie. That's how they have to end it. And I know so many people are going to be, they're going to flip out when that happens, because like, oh my gosh, no mm-hmm. way that doesn't happen. But it has to be the Infinity War end where the bad guy wins. That's how they got to do it. If Sony is setting up their whole trend of things to be maximum Carnage storyline or something like that, that's what they got to do.
I disagree, but I also don't think we need to see much of Carnage in the movie then. I mean, I don't think we need to see the epic fight. I mean, I think we can see the build. I mean, we can see, similar to what we saw in Venom, we can see Carnage's origin story. You know, why? And I mean, they need to set it up in an entire movie. Why does Carnage hate Venom?
So we know that Cletus and
Eddie.
Oh my gosh. And Eddie, thank you. You know exactly where I'm going with this, John. This is why we share a brain. We know that Cletus and Eddie met each other mm-hmm. because in the post-credit scene, Eddie went yeah. into the prison to interview Cletus. So that now is the foundation for a relationship. And that gives us that pending conflict.
Yeah. I mean, but they need to kind of build, you know, I mean, it's similar to, you know, kind of what we talked about, where if they tried to introduce Spider-Man into this, why would Venom care about Spider-Man right now?
Mm-hmm. True.
I mean, because they don't have that connection. So I would like to see a good story to kind of build to that, and maybe have it at the end where Venom's on the losing side or something else. But I mean, I'm more concerned with them actually building a reason for that hatred.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, which was why Venom hating Spider-Man and Peter worked so well, because Venom had a good reason to hate Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, I could see something. They would have to accomplish a lot in one movie, though, but I could see something in this where Venom and Spider-Man have a conflict, but this also hinges on them having, if they do this, it would be more Spider-Man action in this movie than I think is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I only brought that up as an example. I don't think they need Spider-Man in this.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. I think that's going to come later. And I think at some point there's going to be the Venom versus Spider-Man thing. And then, I think a lot of these people are going to be adversaries of Spider-Man, but then as Carnage is just kicking everyone's ass, then we're going to see everyone teaming together with Spider-Man in kind of this, you know, uneasy alliance to then go after Carnage. I mean, we've seen two major, major story arcs of Carnage in the comics, basically all culminating in exactly the same thing. The first one was much smaller, and it kind of remained centered in kind of Spider-Man's sphere of influence. And the one that's out there now is everyone and anyone. I mean, Carnage faced Ghost Rider and kicked his ass. I mean, like, just crazy stuff. And, like, every freaking Marvel comic has had at least one Carnage crossover in this. It's been huge, huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's also a little out of control, and obviously not something that Sony can do. So they need to isolate it. But let's see real quick some speculation rumors. We do have some rumors of planned release dates for three films. So Ant-Man 3, which has only been talked about, like there was never any like, hey, Ant-Man 3 is definitely going to be in Phase 5 or anything. Like there wasn't a whole lot about Ant-Man 3 that's been talked about. And I've been fine with that. So that, the rumored release date for this February 18th, 2022, the rumored release date for Captain Marvel 2, which obviously we've been expecting a Captain Marvel 2, is July 7th, 22. And the rumored release date for Blade is October 7th of 22. So this is interesting. And this comes from one of those insiders who, you know, has a fairly high success rate of information that comes out there. So this seems to make sense. We know that Black Panther 2 is slated for May 6th of 22. Aside from that, we have no 2022 release dates. And these other movies definitely, they work with that. They jive with that. So I don't see any reason for it to not work. And it still leaves room for Spider-Man 3 because that is on Sony's slate. It doesn't leave room for Guardians 3 unless they're, you know, Marvel's really aggressive and puts out 5 movies in a year. So I don't know.
I mean, they could.
Yeah, they absolutely could. But boy, that's a lot.
Yeah, please don't. No,
it's so much for us to talk about.
Yeah.
So I promised that we would have more Hulk discussion. And so here this is. We do have some speculations, a rumor, a fairly reasonable rumor, that we're going to see Red Hulk. And this would be Red Hulk coming into the MCU by way of the She-Hulk series. So William Hurt, who plays General Ross, he's played General Ross in the Incredible Hulk movie, in Civil War, in Infinity War, in Endgame, and we've even seen him in Black Widow in the trailer. So he's been kind of one of these fairly regular, a fairly regular presence, even though in a lot of cases it's only been maybe 20 or 30 seconds, but he's been there in these movies. The speculation is that his character is going to transform into Red Hulk somewhere in the She-Hulk series. Now, that's a pretty powerful introduction for them to do in the in a Disney Plus series. And this is the thing that could maybe lead to Hulk's demise. So just extending that conversation that we had before.
You know what, Tim, this is actually a really good idea that the MCU should have capitalized on, 10 years ago.
Yes.
You know, the no offense to William Hurt, and yes, General Ross has appeared in several movies. You actually forgot him in Iron Man.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
In the original post-credit scene. No, I don't. We don't need a Red Hulk. I mean, I don't know a lot about Red Hulk, but no, because we don't need all of a sudden the spinoffs of all the different Hulks, you know, in the MCU. I mean, there's plenty of other things that you can do with She-Hulk. What is his arc? What is his passion? What is his, after being Secretary of Defense, what causes him to then go under whatever he needs to go under to become Red Hulk? At that point of his career, his age, everything else, what is his driving factor? And I think trying to tie, I mean, if he didn't do it as a result of Civil War, if he didn't do it as a, you know, result of Infinity War, do we even know, did he survive the snap?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter since everyone's back.
Well, I mean, it does matter because, you know, if he survived the snap, why didn't he look to do it during those 5 years to counteract the snap? I mean, it does matter because it tells to his
true,
you know, his arc and his story. And the fact that to a degree he came full circle, because was he not at Tony's funeral?
I think he was. I think you're right.
I think he was. So, I mean, he made peace with the Avengers and all that they did. There's nothing driving him to essentially become a villain if, you know, to then battle against either Hulk or She-Hulk. I mean,
right.
The story arc's not there.
Asha, any thoughts on this?
Not on this in particular, but I just had a different thought in terms of She-Hulk. I don't know how this would work in terms of timing, but I know people were talking about how Spider-Man would need representation if he was like taken to court, and they were like, oh, Matt Murdock. Okay, but what if Jennifer Walters was actually his lawyer for that? Because I think in the comics, she's a lawyer.
Yep.
Oh, she is.
Well.
That's a good idea.
I mean, she is, and she so, even yeah, as like She-Hulk, she maintains her...
Well, she's permanently She-Hulk.
Her persona as a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that is a great way to, you know, transfer over a more logical kind of connection between the two franchises, as well as not muddying the waters with trying to reintroduce a new Matt Murdock.
Right.
Though Ben Affleck may be available.
My only thought on the General Ross thing, I think is just kind of a devil's advocate or counterpoint to your thoughts, John, which I think are pretty accurate. I mean, for a lot of reasons, there's not necessarily nothing compelling to do this. But if they do it, knowing how adversarial General Ross has been as a whole with the Avengers, I could definitely see him finally getting frustrated and saying, you know what, screw it. No one's staying in line. I'm going to do something now. I'm going to try to become a superhero and either solve problems the way I think that they should be solved, or I'm going to try to put the Avengers in line. And he decides to go through his own super soldierish kind of thing.
But see, I could see him going down that path, but then finding and recruiting somebody younger. I mean, Tim, we've worked with the military. He's what? Mm-hmm. I mean, in the comics, he's a 4-star general. I don't think once he moved to Secretary of Defense, which if he was active military.
Yeah, so he's probably in his 60s.
I mean, which, you know, easily. Active military, becoming Secretary of Defense, that's a whole different argument to have, and we can get Tom on to have that conversation. But so let's say he's at, let's call him a two-star. A two-star general in his 60s is smart enough to know if he has the ability to turn himself into Hulk and take things into his own hands, he's not going to do it. He's going to find a young man. He's going to recruit them and do, you know, kind of the, you know, the Steve Rogers route. A two-star general in his 60s is smart enough to know him injecting himself, even if it reduces his age and everything else, he's well past his prime. So I could see it if they're going to turn someone else into Red Hulk, but I can't see him doing it himself.
But to an extent, he already dealt with that in Incredible Hulk with Abomination. So I would think that he gets some crazy scientist to say, hey, reasonable assurance, you're not going to turn into whatever the heck Abomination was. And General Ross saying, look, I'm done trying to manipulate other people. I'm going to do this myself.
I mean, maybe. I'm always, then, you know, as soon as that happens, I'm going to push back. He's a pretty dumb general.
The thing is, all that said, John, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, I completely
agree with you. I don't see it happening, but it's, you know, I figured it's worth talking about.
Yeah. I'm channeling my inner Lizzie, getting angry and saying, screw this rumor.
All right. So our last rumor on here is that, the Loki series may be introducing Kang the Conqueror. And this actually totally makes sense. If the series is going to be focused on Loki doing time travel and multiverse travel, and he's being chased by these, you know, time cops, if you will, Kang is also a time traveler, and Kang not only travels through time, but he travels amongst time, you know, across the different timelines, and then within time, within all those different timelines. And Kang is a really interesting character. I mean, he's, through his period of comics, he's been certainly an antagonist and an adversary for a lot of comic heroes and even some comic villains. The role that I'm seeing him play in the current Doctor Doom series, which is awesome, by the way, is almost kind of like a Watcher, where he's traveling through time and into these different timelines, and then randomly appears in front of Dr. Doom, wherever he is, really kind of humorous exchanges. And Kang gets very disoriented with the whole time travel thing, but he's also like crazy powerful too. And so I think that they could really do a lot with it. And it's also a good nod to the cosmic side of the MCU. I think it can work really well. So, I don't know. You guys have a lot of familiarity with Kang?
No, I don't.
He's slightly obscure.
Yeah. I've seen certainly read comics where he has popped up. I think he is a kind of a cool character to be able to bring in. I'm sure they have a master plan with him, but enough that he can, you know, kind of pop in and out, and we can see, you know, how they want to use him, because they can go many different ways with him, as you kind of pointed out. So I think at one point we talked about, is he the next big bad? Is he not the next big bad? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. It could be introducing him to see kind of how, and I mean, especially in the Loki series, introduce him, see what the reception is. If it's great, they continue on. If it falls flat, they move in a different direction. I'm 100% okay with them bringing him in this form and fashion.
Yeah. I think he's a good character. You know, I don't want to see him as a lasting adversary, but I think he can, like I said, in this, you know, new Doctor Doom series, he's kind of like a more of an involved Watcher. And if you're involved in if you know about the Watchers from Marvel Comics, I mean, they're very like they hang out and float out in the ether and they just watch stuff that's going on and they generally don't interfere. With the exception of the comic Infinity Gauntlet series where they're all like, hey, hey, you guys, Avengers, you really need to kill Thanos because this is bad. But we didn't tell you that because we're not supposed to. But so like Kang is a little more hands-on and I think he can give a lot of like context and exposition to things. And I think he's actually a really great counterpoint to the humor that Tom Hiddleston brings to Loki.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I can see the two playing off of each other tremendously well. And it being like really, really funny because for as much as Loki frustrates other people, Kang would frustrate the hell out of Loki.
Mm-hmm.
And there could, I mean, there's also some opportunity, I think, early on for some like good physical confrontation to come out of it. And then kind of this begrudging type of relationship. I think it'd be hilarious. And it would also be really meaningful too. It would have depth to it beyond just superficial comedy.
Yeah.
So I like it. And it also introduces yet another element to multiverse and time travel.
Yep.
Which is clearly where they're going. So that's it for our speculation rumors. Before we close out, Asha, I kind of want to throw things in your direction a bit. Obviously, we know things have been a little slow lately in terms of Black Widow because they're done filming. They're in post-production. We've gotten some trailers and we've gotten some reveals of some things. We saw Taskmaster's costume revealed, which I think is really cool. What kind of updates or excitement, you know, you've got your finger on the pulse of Black Widow
stuff. I do.
What has you excited lately about Black Widow, aside from going to see the movie?
Well, one thing I just thought of was the final trailer will probably come in the next couple weeks. So early March, mid-March maybe. So that's exciting. And I'm hoping that they will show something different because I feel like in the last two or three footages that we've seen, it's pretty much the same thing. Maybe a little bit more of the scene, but something different. Not too much to, you know, give away the movie, but maybe something that sparks some more excitement for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially since, like, it's slow right now. Nothing's been revealed since the last trailer with the character posters. And then, like, that's been it. I mean, there's been some, like, toys that we've known are coming out. But, like, other than that, their marketing right now is a little, they're under the radar. So,
yeah, they're kind of like in an in-between point where they've garnered a lot of interest over the last few months with the teaser and a couple of trailers. And then now we're kind of in a lull. I think also strategically part of it is they're waiting for, and not making this a Marvel DC thing, but just simply this is smart marketing. They're letting Birds of Prey run its course.
Makes sense.
Before they jump in again. It's just okay, let's let them have their attention. And then as they start to drop down, we're then going to jump up because now people are going to want something else. That's just my thought.
And then Disney also has like Mulan coming in March too.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. And that looks like an incredible movie,
which is exciting. Other things for Black Widow, so nothing, no official news, but I'm working on this project for Scarlett Johansson. It's like an appreciation gift because this is probably the last time we'll see her as Black Widow. So just in case it is, you know, I just wanted to give her something a little special. It'll be a magazine, quote unquote, like a booklet, kind of like a yearbook, I would say, but really about the last 10 years. Of like her character's journey from, you know, when we first saw her in 2010 to her final thing in 2020. And which also makes it special because Black Widow actually comes out 6 days before Iron Man 2 came out 10 years ago. So.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. I did not know that. Yes.
Yeah, it came out May 1st, and Iron Man 2 came out May 7th, 2010.
Right.
So it's like a lot of like milestones coming up for her and her character. And she doesn't get a lot of appreciation. So I just wanted to, you know, let her know.
Totally.
We appreciate you.
Now you're going to be smart and you're going to bring two copies of this to the premiere, right? One to give to her and one to have her sign for you.
Oh, that is smart. So yes, I will do that.
Tim, yeah.
Whenever you need life advice, Asha, you give me a call.
Tim makes
you give me a call. I'll hook you up for
Tim
free.
Tim is a great senior advisor.
No, that's very cool though. I'd love to. I don't know if you plan on sharing any of that at some point. I'd certainly love to see like the kind of stuff that you're putting into it, because that sounds really cool. And there is a lot. I mean, since Iron Man 2, she has had a lot of really pivotal involvement. And you know, I mean, in all the a lot of the big movies, the Civil War and that kind of stuff. I mean, she was a turning point in things. She was making important decisions. She was a central character. And, you know, unfortunately, to some extent, she was downplayed.
Yeah.
And not even with it being a gender-based thing. It's Hawkeye was also downplayed.
Indeed.
You know, you're taking two generally human people in the midst of all these superheroes. And it's like, oh, yeah, you guys just hang out here on the street and kind of shoot some of these aliens. We're going to go fly around and kill hundreds of them, and good luck killing like the eight that you kill. You know, that's very cool. And anything else in terms of Black Widow that you've got going on or looking forward to?
Well, don't forget, she's going to wave to us from the red carpet.
I will. I'm going to be wilding out.
And that's awesome. You attended the red carpet for what other movie?
Spider-Man: Far From Home. I intended on going to Onward, which was like last Monday, but I completely forgot.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go to Mulan, because people have been asking me like, so what does it look like? You know, how can we go to the premiere and whatnot? So I'm like, all right, I will give you like a little blog so you can, you know, get a better understanding of it.
That's
for people
cool.
who are gonna like come to LA when you know the Black Widow one happens, which is April 27th, one of those days, tentative.
Nice. Okay.
But yeah,
I would say like it'd be great to do like an Instagram live thing, but I'm sure with all the people around there, they just suck up all the cell bandwidth, and you probably can't do that really effectively. So
probably not, but like I will try my best to, you know, give like live updates. If I'm not doing a live, I'll try to give live updates, but I also my focus will be trying to get this thing to her. So
that's so
we'll
awesome.
See what happens.
No, we're definitely looking forward to it. And I mean, certainly like immediately after the movie, we're going to have you on the show. And I expect we're going to have you on the show again before then, but you know, definitely count on coming back here after the show, because we all want to hear like your impression of the whole thing. So we're all really excited about it, and we know that you're so excited so we want to hear from
you. It's like my graduation date, because I've been waiting for like 4 years. I've been in school for the past 4 years. It's time to graduate.
That's right.
Oh, and also if anyone wants to be a part of the gift, you can either donate or you can send in like some fan art or a letter or anything, and it can be put inside the booklet. And all that information is on my Instagram, which is at Black Widow Movie.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome. We should do a Guardians of the MCU thing.
You should.
I'm going to write that down right now. I mean, I know Scarlett's a big listener of ours too. I know she's a big
I told her that I was coming on today, and she was like, oh, yes.
Tell the guys
show.
I said hi.
Yeah. Scarlett.
All right. I'm writing that down because we'll do something. We'll put together a little graphic something.
Definitely.
And yeah, that'll be awesome.
Let her know she's appreciated.
Absolutely. So unless either of you have anything else, John, take us out here.
So please send us your questions, your comments, feedback, allies, and excuses. You can reach us at guardians@randomchatter.com. It was, I think, actually last week we had a fan reach out to us and prompt some replies back and forth with us, which is always fun. And
yes, and thank you for that.
Yeah. And as Tim has pointed out, you can always reach us over at Discord. Oh, and I'm doing the next part, too. Sorry, you changed that in a little bit. As well as on all the social... See, this, folks, this is when he does live updates in the show notes and changes Liz's name to my name. You can also reach us over on the social medias. The network is over at Random Chatter. You can reach Liz at TWT About Lizzie. You can reach Tim at Qui-Gon Tim. That is Tim with two M's. And Asha, are you on the Twitter?
I am. So Black Widow is on, my Black Widow is on Twitter as Black Widow Movie, but it's BLK Widow Movie.
And then you can also reach us over on the Instagram. Again, the network is over at Random Chatter. I am at underscore John Stewart. Lizzie is at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie, and Tim is at Some Call Me Tim 1138. And Asha, do you want, I know you're on Instagram, do you want to give that out?
Yes, it's at Black Widow Movie, and if you want to follow the official Black Widow account, it is at black.widow.
Awesome. It's funny that, you know, John, you were saying the Twitter and the Instagram, ironically. I set up a Discord community for the theater where I do improv, mm-hmm. and we had a meeting on Saturday, and the person who was running the meeting very non-ironically kept calling it the Discord. And I just like kept myself from laughing the whole time. That's it. That's the story. That's all I got. I know. It was
Thanks,
very interesting.
Tim, I don't do the social media so good. We know.
Yeah. Thank you, folks, once again for joining us. We will catch you in about a week. Next week, special guest, Kevin Feige. Take care.